You're listening to This Is How You Think with Jewel Kim, episode number one, Maiden Voyage. I'm a little nervous, but I'm taking the plunge. So wish me luck and let's dive in. Have you ever had that feeling that something just isn't right? Maybe you're not happy at work or in your personal life, but you can't explain why. You can't exactly put your finger on it. So you tell yourself to suck it up, to be grateful for what you have, to just keep going. And this was me too, which is why I want to talk about this today, especially if you have ever stayed too long in a job, a friendship, or a relationship that you didn't feel good about. You didn't feel good about yourself. Then this is an episode you'll want to listen to, because I'm going to share one of the key pivotal lessons that I so wish I'd learned 35 years ago. And this is now one of the core principles I teach all of my clients so they can finally start taking ownership of their lives. I'm a certified coach and I've been doing this for around the last 5 years. And people will often describe me as very calm and grounded, which always makes me laugh because that definitely was not always me, especially not as a child. I was famous for having a very hot temper with a little side of woe is me. I carried that into adulthood where, unfortunately, I hate to say it, I was toxic AF pretty much all the way up until I was around 33. And I'm embarrassed to put this out there, but I ooze negativity from every pore, which showed up in how I spoke to other people or to myself. And you could even literally see it stamped all over my face and my body language. I didn't know how to be around other people. And I remember feeling so incredibly uncomfortable and awkward with myself. Now, like so many of you out there, I grew up in a pretty dysfunctional family where everyone was angry, yelling all the time, and I felt like I had to walk on eggshells. My parents were also extremely critical of everyone, especially of us kids. And I've noticed that that kind of energy tends to roll downhill. So unfortunately, I was the youngest, so I had the least power in my family. And that is why I felt like I was always about to get yelled at or punished any moment if I stepped even one toe out of line. So this made my childhood feel really chaotic and unsafe. I was never allowed to speak up because I would be punished for being disrespectful or disobedient. If you asked me for 3 words that describe my childhood, I would say uncomfortable, afraid, and angry. I was feeling a lot of big emotions all the time, but I was never given tools to handle that or process that in any meaningful way. And honestly, this is most people today, especially if you grew up in an Asian family like I did. So no wonder I had such a hard time speaking up for myself as an adult. I was a compulsive but unwilling people pleaser. I was constantly saying yes to other people because not only did I not know how to say no, I was terrified of saying no. I didn't know what was going to happen. When people were rude to me or didn't treat me very well, I put up with that because I felt like I had to be nice. And I sure as heck did not want to be mean. I didn't want to be anything like my parents, and I thought they were mean. That is how I ended up with friends and relationships that just did not serve me. The longest relationship lasted 7 years. And even though within the first month of that relationship happening, I knew it probably wasn't going to work, I stayed. We fought all the time. Sometimes it was every week. Sometimes it was even 2 or 3 times a week. There were so many instances of disrespect. And the signs of incompatibility were just littered all over the place. But I stayed because I did not know any better. By the time I was 29, I hated my life. I felt trapped at work. I felt trapped at home. And so many times I remember asking, is this really all there is? But whenever I actually said that to the people around me, they all said yes. They said I was asking for too much, that I was being extra. And my own brother told me that life and relationships are supposed to be hard. So the overall message I was getting from everyone was, shut up, stop complaining, and make more money. When that is all you ever hear, you probably end up somewhere like where I was thinking there was something seriously wrong with me. I thought I wasn't working hard enough. I somehow wasn't smart enough. I was being too picky. So I kept trying harder and harder for the next 3 years. Now, this was also around the time when I met my husband. We were pretty good friends, but I had my boyfriend who I'd been dating for around 4 to 5 years. So everybody I knew was expecting us to get married. But then here was this other friend, Jason, who's now my husband. And this person was incredibly kind, so smart, very positive. And I remember his energy was just even, very grounded, and so deliciously healthy. I immediately wanted to flee. I'm not joking. I was so not used to being around someone like him that it felt like something was seriously wrong. It was so alien to me. So I made up excuses why we could never be together. I told myself, oh man, you know, me and my boyfriend, we own a house together. It'll be such a pain to separate all of our belongings and our finances. This is too much work. And at one point, I may have even told myself, oh my gosh, Jason's going to lose his hair and I can never be with a bald man. And I already know you don't have to tell me. That was ridiculous. But those are the kind of excuses you make when you're not quite sure what is in front of you. Now, there was also some other stuff I wasn't even saying. Way deep, deep down, I was terrified. I felt that if I went down this road with Jason, he would one day see the real me, and it would be game over. It was kind of like relationship imposter syndrome. I felt like Jason was so much better as a person than I was that there was no way this was ever going to work out. So I stayed with my boyfriend, and I kept staying for well over a year, almost 2 years. This is not something I'm proud of, definitely not. But given the place I was at in my life, I'm also not surprised. This is why I call this relationship inertia, where even though you know it's not working out, you keep going because you don't know what else to do. And everything just feels so monumentally hard to make a change, to separate from this other person who you once loved so much and you have shared your essence, your life, all this time with. And that was me. My family told me to put my head down and keep going, so that's what I did. But then the day came when I ended up in the hospital and everything changed. It all started when my stomach was hurting at work one day. And I thought it was something I ate because it was around lunchtime. But then 8 hours pass and the pain has only gotten worse. It was so bad I thought I was going to pass out. So I asked my ex to take me to the ER. And I'm incredibly lucky at that point because they weren't that busy, so I didn't have to wait. They admitted me right away. And it's crazy when I think back now because even as they were wheeling me to my room, I threw up because I was in so much pain. Now, my ex had brought me to the hospital and he was with me, but the way he handled that whole situation, it wasn't great. He brought his work laptop with him and spent the whole night in my hospital room working, just a busy little bee. And at the time, I didn't know what to think about this, but I felt like such a huge inconvenience to him. I also remember the nurses talking about him out in the hallway, and they even made a comment to him directly, like how he was so busy working. He obviously did not pick up the cue. But I felt ashamed. Now, I'm sharing this not to rake him over the coals, because it was just a weird situation. and I didn't know what I was allowed to expect. But I definitely didn't feel good. But in the moment, I had a lot of bigger problems because it turned out I had a ruptured ovarian cyst, which, let me tell you, is not a joke. This is one of the most painful experiences I've ever gone through. So I didn't say anything to him. I was just trying to get through the night. Now, the thing is with my ex, this wasn't even the first incident where I saw that he just didn't have the capacity to support me. But I had kept ignoring all of the signs all the other times. Until this time. This time, the truth was just slapping me in the face. You know, my ex, he was never going to be there for me the way I needed. And I could not ignore this anymore. Now, I didn't know whether I would ever find the right person. But the one thing I did know was I could not keep living like this. By that point, we were 7 years into the relationship. And I started to think that I was better off alone. Because at least that way, I would get to focus on me and my goals. That's when I finally ended the relationship. Looking back, the lesson I really wish I had learned that no one ever taught me was that you deserve to be around people who treat you well. You deserve to be around people who love you, who care about you, who show you that, who celebrate you. If someone ever belittles you or is dismissive or makes you do things you don't want to do, basically, if they do anything that makes you feel not good about yourself, makes you feel unsafe or unheard, then that person has no place in your life. Now, this may sound like an obvious thing, but the lesson is a lot harder to learn when you grow up like I did. If you're raised anything like how I was raised and how so many others are as well, when you grow up in a family that never gave you space, that had you always bending over backwards for them, accommodating their needs, because that's what you had to do to survive, this lesson might take a little longer because we grew up feeling unsafe and not good so much of the time that that is what was normal. That's what became normal for us. But what is normal isn't always what's right. There's a difference. This is why so many of us, especially women, are people pleasers. We outsource our power and our safety to others because that's what we were taught. We center ourselves around the needs of others instead of centering within ourselves and our own happiness and our own desires. Almost all of the women I work with don't even know what they like or what they want because they spend so much of their energy giving and giving to other people. So they have nothing left for themselves. Which brings us to the question I give to all of my clients. And if you feel up to it in this moment, you might also want to ask yourself this. What do I want? What comes up for you? Keep in mind, there's no right or wrong answer. Your only job is to open yourself up to this question and notice what comes. This is the first step to tuning into your own voice, your own intuition, so that you understand yourself better. This is the beginning of how you listen to yourself. And when you listen to yourself, that's when you start to build self-trust so that you start feeling like you are in the driver's seat for your own life. The reason why I've made this exercise is because I've gone through burnout way too many times by putting myself in the wrong spaces, around the wrong people, and I was listening to everyone but myself because I didn't know how to check in with myself. I've spent most of my life performing for other people and their expectations, and it has never ended well for me. which is why I'm talking about this now, because I see so many other women in the same position. And that is why this show will always focus on not just my own stories, but the stories of other women out there, because the beauty of life is we are all more alike than we think. We'll get into topics like imposter syndrome, people-pleasing, boundaries, and overall psychology and mental wellness. All of these topics contribute to that feeling I mentioned in the very beginning. The feeling that tells you something is off, even though you can't put your finger on it. So if there's only one thing you take away from today, it's to know that that feeling is not your enemy. That is a message from your soul to you. And if there's anything I've learned in life so far, is that the moment you start listening to that message and you stop abandoning yourself, that is when everything starts to change. Now, this is how you get there. Your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to ask yourself, what do I want 3 times a day? And you're going to do this every day for the next week. You might be surprised by what you hear. And if you need help remembering to do this, what I have done is set a phone reminder that tells me when it's time to check in with myself. It is set for sometime in the morning, midday, and the evening. Now, the key here is to take the time and answer yourself. Do not filter, just be honest. And also don't judge yourself. Don't argue with yourself on what you want. You can act on it or not. It's totally up to you. And if you feel some resistance to doing this, that's totally normal. That is okay, because this is actually a lot of people. That just means that it's even more important that you actually do this instead of putting it off. If you do end up doing this, feel free to drop me a comment or reach out to me on social, because I would love to hear how this goes for you. If this episode hit home, please feel free to share it with one other person who needs that reminder too. Lastly, this episode and this show is dedicated to my brother John, who passed away in July this year. His life reminds me every day why these conversations matter, because the truth is, we don't get unlimited chances to live as our true selves. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, I believe in you. See you next time.